Welcome back to the Johnny Londoff Chevrolet Line Change on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Eric Messersmith, Cam Jansen, TJ Moe, Matt Whitener, Hannah Yates with you. We're joined now on the Ryan Kelly phone lines by Gabe DeArmond, the publisher of PowerMizzou.com. Gabe, how are you, sir?
Not bad. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. Not as good as Mizzou basketball, though. I'll tell you, if you got on that at like 200-1 to win the national championship, I don't know if it's gone up since then. I'm just saying, they had a big weekend this weekend recruiting. They got Blake Harris as a commitment, a third top 100 pick. But the big guy there was Kevin Knox, who's ranked in the top 10 nationally. He was there this weekend. What's the latest with him? How did the visit go, and do you think Mizzou is the favorite?
I mean, the visit, from all indications, went well because all visits go well. When you're 17, who wouldn't like being treated like a king and being shown all over campus and all that? I'm actually just about to link a story that our Kentucky guys just did. Knox, now his dad is saying a decision will come April 28th or May 1st. It will be on national television. So about 3 weeks from now, Missouri, Duke, Carolina, Kentucky, Florida State are all in it. The schools you hear most often right now are Missouri, Duke, and Carolina. But I guess we'll just wait and see.
Gabe, the other guy that's been on the radar is Jeremiah Tillman, and Frank Cusimano tweeted out, I think it was today or last night, that he would be granted a release officially from Illinois. What are you hearing about him?
Yeah, eventually he'll get his release from Illinois. Frank knows his stuff as far as St. Louis High School, so we could hear about that as soon as tonight. Whenever it does, at some point then, we all fully expect him to commit to Missouri, whether that's immediately, whether he'll take a few days, I don't really know. But I think it's going to be a surprise if he ends up anywhere else.
Wow. When was the last time that, according to Rivals, this would be three top 25 guys. Jeremiah Tillman's ranked number 25 in your database. Kevin Knox, number 7, and they already have Michael Porter Jr. at number 1. Have they ever had a class like this, Gabe?
Not that I know of. We've been doing rankings that I can access since about 2002. They had four of the top 92 in 2004. It was Glenn Dandridge, Kalen Grimes, Jason Horton, and Marshall Brown. But the highest one was ranked, I think, 42nd. Linus Klaza was up in the teens. Tony Mitchell was number 12, I believe. But no, they've never had anything like this.
Wow, so basically they've never even had, if I'm understanding you right, Gabe, they've never even had a top 10 guy before this year, and they could potentially get two?
Not since Rivals has been doing it. I mean, if you go back, like Steve Stepanovich was consensus top 3 guy in the country. But I don't think since we've been doing this, they've got anything.
Where does the Mizzou class rank? I know it's still fairly early. A lot of guys are making their decisions, but after the Porter commitment and then CJ Roberts and then Blake Harris, where does it rank right now?
I think we've got it. Well, we had it when we last updated before Blake Harris. We had it 16th in the country. So, Blake Harris probably pushes it up a little bit. I went through the numbers. If they manage to get Knox and Tillman, you're looking at 2 or 3, I think. Kentucky has 5 of the top 32 guys in the country. You're probably not passing them. UCLA has 5 of the top 90, so that might be tough to pass, but I would think that they would go past pretty much everybody else.
What about Mark Smith? He's a 6 guy, and I've read that you've said that they're potentially recruiting like their 6 scholarships open. Mark Smith is a guy from Edwardsville, Illinois, who's ranked number 78. If they get him, would that catapult them potentially to number 1?
I still think 1's going to be tough because, again, you're talking about 5 of the top 32 from Kentucky. But probably 2 in that case. And my latest understanding on Mark Smith is it's going to be tough. I still think he's a Michigan State lean, but I don't think Missouri's out of it. And I think the Tillman thing will, when it happens, help.
Everybody gets so excited about recruiting, Gabe. And Gabe DeArmond of PowerMizzou.com joining us here on the Ryan Kelly phone lines, and rightfully so. But on the court, if they get Tillman and if they get Knox with what they already have and what they have coming back, what is the ceiling for this team, do you think, realistically?
I mean, the ceiling is to compete for an SEC title because Kentucky could be maybe a little bit less than what they've been over the last few years. I think they'd have as much talent as anybody else in the league. And, you know, I'm a guy that likes to – I know it's not the popular thing to do. My dog's making an appearance, so I apologize for that. I know it's not the popular thing to do, but I don't judge a season based on do you get to the Sweet 16 or do you get to the Elite Eight, how far did you go, because the tournament's a crapshoot. You know, if you go win 28 games, then you take your chances in the NCAA tournament. And, you know, I still think that 2000, I guess it would have been 11-12 season, where Missouri won 31 games and was in the and won the Big 12 tournament. I understand they lost in the first round in Norfolk State, and that puts a damper on what the season was, but it doesn't erase what the season was. And it, look, upsets happen all the time in the tournament. So to me, go compete for an SEC title, win 28 games, and then whatever happens after that is what happens after that.
Gabe, can you ever remember a time where there was this much buzz and excitement around recruiting in football or basketball? I mean, I can go back a few years in football, and there's been the buzz around Blaine Gabbert. Like, there was sort of that where everybody was signing in 2008, Blaine Gabbert, and Dan Hoke was a four-star, and you had Andrew Jones and some guys. But I can't remember it ever being like this, where you're legitimately in contention for three of the top 25 guys in the country, and it's all happened in a span of 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's nothing quite like I can remember. I mean, the individual recruitments of DGB and Sheldon Richardson were pretty crazy and obviously very popular and a lot of attention. But this is more than one guy. This has been going on now for a month, and I think you'll see some of this happen on the football side down the road if some of these guys jump on board with Missouri and some others are still out there. But this is unlike really anything we've seen.
So, Gabe, let's say that I had my entire life savings and I see Mizzou's at 200-1 to win the national championship. Would that be a good bet, do you think, to throw everything in on that?
You'd win $200, Eric. Great.
Betting your entire life savings is never really a good bet. You know, if I always go with if I had to bet an amount of money that mattered to me, no, I still wouldn't do that. But if I had an extra $10 laying around and you could turn that into $2,000, what the hell?
So, Gabe, Konzo Martin's sort of the critique about him all along has been that, one, he's fallen short. He's had legitimate guys, but he's fallen short. But two, it's been that offensively he hasn't gotten it going. He's a great defensive coach, and they always play well. But with these guys, it seems like they could – I mean, every one of these guys offers something that most of the guys around the country does not possess. And we're talking about Blake Harris. They're talking about being one of the best passers in the country. We know what Michael Porter Jr. brings. Can a lot of this take care of itself? Meaning, you know, even if that's one of his shortfalls, you have guys that overcome it just by pure athletic ability.
Yeah, and Konzo talks a little about that today. We get to talk to him and the assistants. And, you know, he said a few times, look, you can coach defense. Defense is about effort. Offense, like, you got to have the ability, right? You've got to be able to go score, and you've got to have the athleticism to go do it. And Missouri hasn't had guys that can put the ball in the basket the last few years. So that's definitely something. And he's a defensive coach, and he was talking about today Chris Hollander and Cornell Mann are guys that have offensive backgrounds, which is one of the big reasons he wanted those. He kind of targeted those guys for his staff because while they can maybe focus a little more on that side of it, he can continue to be more of a defensive-minded head coach.
Gabe DeArmond with us here on the Ryan Kelly phone line. Gabe, turning to Mizzou football with the spring game coming up next week, are you hearing anything about all the stud high school players in Missouri? What are they calling them now, the Missouri 10, and this particularly the ones here in St. Louis?
You know, I think it's still going to be a while. I mean, a couple of the guys thought that they were amusing on April 1st to tweet out that they were going to make commitments. We were fairly certain that was a joke, but, you know, stayed up late just to make sure, and indeed it was a joke.
Damn so, kids.
Yeah, so good times there. You know, I'm not sure how many of them will be in town. I would think a decent chance Ronnie Perkins will be because, you know, he's in town all the time because his brother's on the team. But we're definitely going to be touching base with those guys this week and finding out how many, if any of them, are planning on coming down to the Black and Gold game.
Gabe, we had Coach Odom on last week. He highlighted a couple of guys that he was particularly saying need to be of note that could step up and play a bigger role in the team this year. Is there anybody that you're looking at that could fill in that void too, that could be a bigger part of this team that wasn't at the end of last year necessarily?
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of them. I think, you know, the wide receivers, the starters all come back, but I think you need some more guys there. At tight end, I think Kendall Blanton will play a bigger role than he did last year. Defensively, obviously, a lot of the defensive line is gone, so you're looking at guys like Trey Williams, Nate Howard, you know, newcomer and Rashad Brandon, a couple JUCO guys that'll come in. At linebacker, Brandon Lee and Therese Hall, you know, the cornerbacks are going to be brand new guys. So I think they'll have a lot of fresh faces, which is, to me, the interesting part about college football. I mean, you have roster turnover every year. It's not like in the pros where as long as you've got the money, you can keep the same guys together for 6, 7, 8 years.
Gabe, have you been able to watch a lot of spring practice? I know back when I played, you guys got to stay the whole time and see all the drills, and I think when they transferred the SEC, a lot of that changed, and then I had heard that Odom was considering changing it back to allowing more media access. Have you guys been allowed in there to see what's going on?
Well, we can watch a little bit more. I mean, we get to watch all day Tuesday and Thursday now, but we don't get to watch on Saturdays when they hold the scrimmages. So, I mean, TJ, you know, I don't know. I'm not a scout. Watching position drills, watching one-on-one stuff, I don't know enough for that to be all that valuable to me. I want to see simulated live bullets flying, which we haven't gotten to see this year. So, you know, I know Drew Locke can stand back there and hit a guy in a one-on-one drill who has 6 seconds to get open when nobody's rushing, but I want to see him in more of a game situation. I want to see who stands out, who gets open, all that. And as far as scrimmages, you know, we haven't been able to see any of that.
Yeah, Saturday's always the big one. They have those three big scrimmages, and that's where everything is settled anyway. I think the two positions that you can see improvement, though, is the one-on-ones with receivers, and that doesn't always translate, but a lot of times you can see significant strides for some certain receivers or some certain corners if they're really locking them down or getting open every time. And the other one is the offensive tackles and the defensive ends. Have you noticed anybody standing out in those two areas?
I mean, you know, nobody's necessarily really jumped out to me, but I'm not going to pretend that I sit there and when we can't write about it, really, like, study it all that hard. I mean, I would say, like, I'm not here because I'm just kind of interested. If I can't write about it, it's frankly not all that valuable to me. So I'm not going to pretend that I've studied it incredibly closely. I think that the offensive line will be an interesting position. I mean, they were much better last year than we expected, but I think some of that was scheme-driven too. So I know they're really pushing competition, and, hey, just because they were better last year doesn't mean that these guys just have five starting spots locked down. I think some young guys like Tristan Castillo and Trevor Sims and some guys like that could push for playing time. But, you know, again, Saturday's really going to be my first chance to really look and say, okay, maybe I can take something out of what I'm seeing.
Gabe, you've been in this business long enough to know now, if you're not an expert, just act like you are.
That's what we do. Pretty good at just making stuff up. You know. But what I've also found after years and years of covering this stuff is if you come out of two or three straight practices saying, hey, this kid caught my eye, I thought he did pretty well, well, then fans think he should be an all-SEC player. And if he isn't, it really bums them out when really what I might have seen is just he was going against a defensive back who had a really bad day. You know, so I was – and the thing about practices, too, for one side to look good, it by definition means the other side looks bad.
Yeah.
So when you report stuff out of spring football or even out of fall camp, it's, well, so is our passing game this good or is our defense really terrible? Well, I don't know, maybe both.
Oh, Gabe, real quick before we let you go, Jonte Porter, the second son in the Porter lineage, will he be, is there any chance he reclassifies and plays next year, or is that kind of on the back burner for now?
It's unlikely. We expect him to stay in high school. Probably ought to know that in the next couple of weeks, but he was quoted, and I don't know who wrote the article, honestly. Somebody posted on our message board. He was quoted today as saying, hey, I've had some other schools come after me, but I pretty much shut it down. As long as my dad's coaching there, I'm going to play for him. So whether it's, you know, this year or next year, as we've all suspected, Jonte Porter certainly is going to be playing at Missouri. And pretty interesting, our guy Eric Vossi just tweeted out after watching him over the weekend that five-star status for him could be not too far away.
And where's he going to go back to school at in Columbia?
Likely Tolton, where they played when they lived here. Father Tolton is the fairly new Catholic high school out just south of town.
Gabe, thank you for the time, man. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Thanks, Gabe. See you.
Gabe DeArmond, publisher of PowerMizzou.com. You can find him on Twitter at Gabe DeArmond, joining us on the Ryan Kelly phone line.
I forgot to get his prediction on what he thinks TJ is going to shoot this Friday down there with Coach Odom.
Well, they have a cap, I think, at each hole. So whatever the ceiling,
are you going to embarrass yourself?
Whatever the highest possible. No, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to hit a couple, and I'm going to hope it's a scramble, and I'm going to talk to everybody I can.
Doesn't matter if it's a scramble. They're still going to watch you hit.
No, that's fine. I didn't claim to be good. I claim to be.
No, but you're going to embarrass yourself.
TJ doesn't get embarrassed.
You think that. It's pretty difficult to embarrass me.
Yeah, you're right. You might not think you're embarrassed, but everybody else would.
Yeah, they will be embarrassed for me.
Okay, there you go. Now
So, TJ, what you're saying is that the ceiling truly is the roof.
The ceiling is the roof, brother.
Yeah, when I asked that question, Maddie just looked at me, and I thought I should have phrased it. Is the ceiling the roof if they get Knox and Tillman? Because I think it is. I think the ceiling is the roof for sure if they get those two.
Well, I mean, anytime the ceiling can be the roof, you got
to
let it be.
I wonder if I've been talking to Mizzou's SID for basketball. I hope we can get Konzo on this week sometime. If not, I'm hoping he's playing this tournament on Friday, and then I will connect with him there.
And then he watches you play, and he's going to be like, I want nothing to do with you.
He's going to be like, you know what? This kid better be humble when he comes on the radio.
I feel bad for him. Yeah. I'll help you out.
That's right.
Hopefully that's the way it goes.
I think a bunch of the dudes are supposed to be there, a bunch of former players. I think Coach Pinkel will be there. I know Odom will be there, all the coaches this Friday. Cool. So I don't know if we can get anybody on the phone that day when they're doing that, but we will. I will set some things up.
Will any of your former teammates who blocked you on Twitter be there?
Yeah, I want to meet them.
I don't know how many of these people.
I want to get them riled up.
Block me per se.
Well, what's going to happen is I'm.
They don't like you.
I think they do to my face.
I beg to differ. Yeah. Well, we'll have to see.
No. Seriously,
point them out. And let me go ask them.
Anybody who's ever had an issue with me over social media to my face has been wonderful, and I've never.
Funny
said
how that works,
who
though,
cares?
Huh? Funny how that works.
Yeah, I just don't care. Like, no, I know. Get upset with me on technology better than.
Maybe they feel they have to get upset with you on Twitter to kind of prove a point, but then when they see it, they're like,
honestly,
we really
don't
care.
If you're picking a place to be pissed and not like me, I'd rather be it there where it doesn't matter. Don't pretend to like me on Facebook, but then hate me in real life.
See, that's my problem.
I want for you to be incredibly pissed at me in real life, but then wonderful to me on Twitter.
You're right, Maddie.
And retweet everything and love me.
Yes, pump me up on Twitter.
I think it's because he's jacked, and these guys see him, and then they back down.
I think you're right.
That's probably not true, because all these guys
are
jacked.
Yeah, really, what are you talking about, Eric?
I was on the smaller end of anybody that ever succeeded in Division 1.
That's what we heard.
What?
Well, I think what he's saying is you're no Vlade Sabuca.
Yeah.
Sergio
I don't know so.
Sergio Garcia, guys, won the Masters yesterday, and it was really – I thought it was really cool to see. I didn't know that I'd get that into it on Saturday and Sunday, but by Sunday afternoon, it was very dramatic, and this is what it sounded like when he got it done yesterday.
And after so many years, once and for all for Sergio.
He had played in more major championships before winning his first than anyone ever. He had played 70 majors as a pro. And if you guys remember, I mean, when he first broke onto the scene and his duels with Tiger Woods, you thought for sure this guy was going to win it. And then he kind of went away for a while. He had a lot of close finishes. He finished second 4 times. He dropped out of the top 10 in the world. And
he
now
pissed a lot of people off.
He did.
Why is that, though? What was he saying? He made a couple of excuses for himself and this and that. Was that with Woods, too, with Tiger? And he made an excuse about how Tiger won or something?
Well, he was a prickly guy in general. And he had a temper, and he wasn't afraid to show it, and he wasn't afraid to get after it with the media. And now he's mellowed out, man. Saw that yesterday.
Yeah, he's emotional, and we don't like emotions in golf, really. Like, we like excitement, we like the fist pump, but that's about the extent. He was talking, you know, like
that. I like emotion in golf.
I do, too, but in general, like, you know, those there's a reason we call it the golf class.
They clap to themselves?
Yes.
So I hate that, by the way.
He was emotional out there on the course as well as with the media and other places, and he just told it like it was. So that turned a lot of people off.
Did you see his girlfriend yesterday, by the way? His fiance, she got
creep.
A lot of
you
play,
are
man.
Just
I'm telling
the creepiest dude. Why?
CBS featured her like
of
crazy.
Of course we all
they
saw
weren't
her.
Stupid. I know. You know what I'm talking about, Kev. Yeah. I heard on the morning after they were talking a lot about her.
Oh,
today.
Of course.
Apparently she is a former Golf Channel reporter. Yeah, she got a lot of FaceTime yesterday. That was smart play by CBS. They know what they're doing.
They know what to do. Yeah. Of course.
They just needed Brent Musburger to talk her up. They'd have been set.
Yeah.
Those were some great shots, though. Like Sergio at the end when he got down on his knees.
Oh, yeah.
You saw the excitement.
And then everybody gets up when he went down, and the fans were in the background. That was pretty cool. It was kind of uneventful for a little bit there, but.
You know what, though? As much as we're talking about Sergio, and he played a good last hole, Justin Rose blew it.
Oh, he completely did.
Garbage.
So that's my point. He completely blew it, man.
Shanked it into the woods.
And then he missed that easy putt, too.
Yeah.
Completely, very easy.
This wasn't like something that people were comparing this to the NCAA tournament because nobody wanted to win. Everybody was missing the game-winning putt to go into an overtime where somebody could suck worse and the other one could win. That's what this was.
Well, they both did well, though. I mean, they both were 9 under par, and they both made great shots in the back nine, especially Sergio.
But when the pressure was on the last two holes, they both failed miserably.
Yeah. Well, until Sergio on the he birdied the 18th in the playoff hole.
But the thing was, even then, there was no pressure. He didn't need to. You could two putt in from there, and you win.
Yeah. But still, I thought, considering the way it could have gone, we knew Tiger Woods wasn't going to play. We've known that for a little while. And even if he would have played, he probably wouldn't have been a factor. And then Dustin Johnson pulling out, the guy who was favored to win, on the first day, right before the first tee.
Yep.
And then Jordan Spieth on Saturday was putting on a show, and then he kind of faded. I thought the drama might be gone.
Ernie Els was 20 over.
Ernie's a little past
the bottom,
his prime.
Ernie's like, and then there's Ernie Els.
Ooh. I'm going to be honest. I didn't even know Sergio Garcia was still capable of something like this.
Neither did he.
I looked, and I had to look and see if another Sergio Garcia had come around. Yeah. I was lost. I was like, this is the guy that was going against Tiger Woods 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Phil Mickelson struggled, too. A lot of the big boys weren't there.
That's one cool thing about golf, though, as opposed to other sports. Like other sports, if you're young and you're fairly successful and then you kind of flame out, that's probably going to be it for the most part, unless you're like a pitcher in baseball or a quarterback. But in golf, man, Sergio can go away for like 7 years, and then all of a sudden he's back, and it's like, oh, didn't he play? Wasn't he contending 20 years ago? And you can have these incredibly long careers.
If, cool if your back's okay, golf. You can play for a long time, man.
On the 314, this texter says, Sergio didn't have the longer drought. He is third behind Westwood and Jay Huff.
No, but they never won a major.
Right. Yeah, that is true. He didn't have the longest drought, but he had the longest. He had the most majors played when he won his first one. Does that
correct
make sense?
Yeah, those two, the longer ones, never won a major. They just played in the most majors without winning. It was like 86 and 70, whatever. So, yes, you are still correct, Eric. I got your back for once.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It's a line change driven by Johnny Londoff Chevrolet, 855-282-8255 on the text line. We're going to have Alex Petrangelo coming up about 20 minutes from now. Matt Rocchio right now, though, has a 590 sports update for us.
Yeah, the Cardinals are going to be in action a little bit later tonight at 6:05 as first pitch as they will take on the Washington Nationals in a three-game stand. Adam Wainwright will take the mound opposite the righty Tanner Roark tonight for the Cardinals. And the lineup for that game as stands, Fowler will lead off, followed by Diaz and Carpenter, Piscotty in the cleanup spot, Molina, Peralta, Grichik, Wong, and then the pitcher spot, nobody out of place in the outfield. And now MLB.com Cardinals beat reporter Jennifer Langosch is reporting on Twitter that Cardinals prospect Luke Weaver has been placed on Memphis Redbirds DL with back stiffness with no known timetable for return. And a little bit earlier, Dave Matter was tweeting after a meeting with the Mizzou basketball coaching staff. Cornell Mann, one of the new coaches, said he's installing an NBA-style offense influenced from his time under Fred Hoiberg at Iowa State. And on the student and fan sport from this weekend with star forward Kevin Knox, Quanzo Martin said that is very much needed. We need all the help we can get. I'm Matt Rocchio with your 590 Sports Report.
The Ryan Kelly Morning After, their next live event is going to be May 18th in O'Fallon, Illinois, brought to you by Anheuser-Busch. Make sure you check that out, May 18th in O'Fallon, Illinois, at the Hot Shots there. Cam, you got your results back off from Mantality.
Guess what, Hannah?
What?
I got low testosterone.
Is anyone here surprised?
Yes.
You should be.
I'm happy about it.
I was unbelievably curious about this whole damn process, and I went in the other day, and I walked right in. You just fill out a sheet. You go into a little room, and you're by yourself, and then they come in and talk to you. They ask you what's going on. How do you feel? What do you think? What do you think is going on with your body? And I told them, I'm losing energy. I'm 32 years old. I shouldn't feel like this.
Can't perform in the bedroom.
I'm pathetic in the bedroom, of course.
And poor Kate.
I know. God, do I embarrass her a lot. Oh, actually, she's excited right now. Who are you kidding? She's pumped up. She's been emailing us left and right. Get your results back, Cam. Yeah. But no, I did. This whole process was very, very, very simple. I walked right in, took 2 seconds, filled out a sheet, talked about everything, got my blood work done, they were very, very gentle that same day, got my stuff back, and I realized I got low testosterone.
Gentle is important because people have to take your blood, like this is like getting a physical in football or hockey.
Of course.
They used to take 4 vials of blood, and the people that didn't know what they were doing, your arm felt like it was going to fall off.
No, I know. You get it's very nerve-wracking, but here it's absolutely not at all. Everybody's unbelievably friendly. You go in there, you get it done, you get results back just like that. And I got low T, man. I do. I'm 32
I'm
years
to figure
old,
out, like,
TJ,
all right,
and I got it.
You, as a guy with, like, raging testosterone, had so much so that you had to punch people in the face for a living. If you have low T, I have to.
Well, that's why you're going to
go Wednesday.
So Wednesday I'm going to go in there. I'm going to get what they do is that you kind of just get leveled out. They're going to see where you're low. I got low vitamin D. There's a couple of things, that I was pretty surprised about. My liver's good, this and that, this and that, this and that. I was really concerned about all that kind of stuff. And I came back and I'm on the low end of the free testosterone. And I'm going to go in there Wednesday and get leveled out. And everybody I've talked to that is on this, I won't bring your names up, but every time I've talked to you, they're like, this stuff works.
Yeah.
It does. And I'm curious for you, TJ, when you go on there Wednesday, and see where you're at. You're complete opposite of me. You know, I lived a hard life. We both played professional sports.
Yeah, well, I wonder how.
One of us did.
Your lives are so hard.
No, but they're different. They're different.
I just wonder what kind of effect taking a pounding like we did.
Yes.
I wonder exactly. What that does with your body trying to keep up and always having to heal constantly.
Yeah, you're a 26-year-old guy. I want to see what your results are.
Wednesday, I'm there.
Wednesday, you're there. But my point is with this, and to get to some logistics on this, you go down as FDA approved. It's covered by your insurance, and you get your results. And you see where you're at. Don't feel ashamed to walk right in there and you walk in. You feel. Last time I went in, there was a couple Marines in there, a couple soldiers, a couple police officers, this and that. Said, hey, whatever. They take you in a little room. It's simple. It's easy, and you just see where you're at. It takes one day. Just go in there and see exactly where you're at. And if you want to participate in this, if you feel like you don't have energy and all that. This stuff works, man. So I got my results back. I am low T, baby.
Plus, we got to get jacked for the summer. So
we're going down to Lake Ozark. I need to look jacked. It is what I need. Energy. I got a lot of stuff to do. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited about Wednesday. You need to go in there. I'm interested to see what the hell your results are, TJ.
Yeah, we're gonna
I am
find out
very
about that.
Curious. I got a couple other people going in there too. They're now everybody's jumping on board. So pretty cool stuff.
We'll get Jim
Mentality.
Stuff
low
too.
T USA, by the way. Low T USA. There's clinics in Chesterfield and South County. Check it out at lowtusa.com. That's
Bobby Clapp on the text line says, Cam, we both know you aren't bad in the bedroom.
Oh, I appreciate that, but I am.
Cam Jansen, TJ Moe, Matt Weicker.
Who am I compared to? Okay.
And Hattie Yates, I'm Eric Messer.
Oh, yeah, you're compared to TJ. Yeah, you're right. I'm way, a lot better.
Way better. Way better. Everybody
by default.
That. It's the Line Change driven by Johnny Law Duff Chevrolet, 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.